Co. So we just have a prayer as we come to God's Word. Father, Lord, it is an honor to be able to read your Word, to be able to open your Word, the living Word of God, the powerful Word of God, life-giving. And I just ask you now in Jesus' name that you would bring life. Bring your Spirit upon your Word. Let this time be a moment of revelation and of seeing Jesus for who you are. We just thank you, Lord, for this day of celebration. And now help us to read and understand and to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wonder if you could bring up the PowerPoint, Matt, please. We're going to just have a slightly different kind of sermon this morning. I'm not going to say it's going to be shorter because that's fatal. I've done that before where you say something and then it doesn't happen. but hopefully it's something like that. And also it'll be a bit different. I want it to be a bit more interactive today. So can you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 or turn them on, whichever way you go these days. I want you to let's look at the Bible together. There is going to be some Q&A and it is not rhetorical. Okay, so answers. I want you to think this morning, and we're going to talk about baptism, and we've been on this series of looking at being saturated with God. Now, this is a very literal form of saturation, baptism. I think it's actually a really great picture of what it means to be saturated, because you could just use the word soaked, drenched, infused, whatever you like, but or we use the word saturated or baptized in God. Isn't that a great picture? And God has given us this picture to show us what the Christian life is, that it's meant to be all, you know, head to foot, you're baptized, and you're baptized, that's that picture. So, I want to ask you this question this morning, and feel free to answer. Now, I think I might need, can I use this microphone? Brilliant. Can you think, what was the best sermon that you have ever heard? Now, think carefully. I've been here for 9 years now. This one. It's so short. Susan, what was the best sermon you ever heard?
I'm reading Hugh's sermon, and the best sermon I read about Hugh was the one on the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Awesome. Hugh, look at that, the best sermon ever. Awesome. Love it. Anyone else? What was the best sermon you've ever heard? Anybody? Can you remember it? It might have been 30 years ago or last week. Carl?
Charles Price on the Beatitudes.
Ah, Charles Price. Now, if you can Google Charles Price, I would really recommend that. On YouTube, I love Charles Price. He has an amazing teaching ministry on the Beatitudes. Well, just think about the best sermon. Oh, yes, we've got one more here. Go on. Can you pass it along? This is interesting. Go on, Suzanne.
Lydia's holiness.
Come on. That is awesome. That was only a few weeks ago. You can listen to that online if you want to. So there you go. Think about what the best sermon, or think about a sermon that has kind of been a life-changing one for you. I hope that the Word of God is something that isn't just something that goes over your head on a Sunday morning, but actually comes into your heart and your mind and in your life. And I really want us to think, so what sermon may have been a life-changing one for me? Because actually, in the book of Acts, here was a life-changing sermon. Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he was changed from being timid into this lion, this mighty preacher. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he went out and spoke the word of God boldly, as all the apostles did. And that was a life-changing sermon. And as we see later on, 3,000 people became Christians on that one day. But it's really interesting to note this powerful, this encounter moment with so many people. And we've got in the reading this morning, if you're looking at your Bible, we've got the last sentence of it. Okay? Sometimes the best sentence is the last one. Anybody agree with that? Lord, bring it soon, we pray. Come, may that sentence arrive quickly. It says there in verse 36, Peter's preaching and he says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, or Lord and Messiah." This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made him Lord and Messiah. That is a great way to end a message. And it's so true, because that is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel and the good news of Jesus is that, yes, Jesus came as a baby in Bethlehem's manger, but it didn't end there. Jesus went to the cross, and you can see the cross there today on our screens. And he hung on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was crucified for us. The cross is a place of the mercy of God to sinful people, to people who have gone away and done our own thing and declared independence from God, almost a bit like we had a divorce from God. And that's how people live. We live like we're dead. We're not just bad, we're also dead before we know Jesus. And the cross is the place where Jesus, in his death, makes us come alive. And he brings forgiveness. He can bring through us repenting. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it says that this Jesus, God made this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now that's interesting. Who actually crucified Jesus? Anybody? Hang on, no. Who actually did it? The Romans did it. Who drove the nails in his hands? So why is Paul speaking to this crowd of people in Jerusalem and saying, "You did it"? Any thoughts? Correct. So they had said that. The crowd had said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Any other thoughts? Because it was their sins, Dan has said here, it was their sin that nailed them to the cross. Why did Jesus come? He came, he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And so Jesus, as he died on the cross, was bearing on his body my sin, the things I've done wrong, my shame, my guilt, my condemnation, the judgment of God in my life, which is just and fair because I have gone away from God. And everyone has turned to his own way. But the Bible says, "But the Lord has laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity," or the sin, "of us all." So God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. We did it in our sin. We did it every time we walk away from God. Every selfish, jealous, envious, lustful, greedy thought that goes through our minds and action that goes through our lives did it. We crucified the Lord of glory. But Peter says, God made this Jesus whom you crucified. What happened to Jesus? He says he's made him Lord and Christ. Now Jesus is 100% God. And 100%, anyone else? Man, human. And only in him, a unique Son of God, should that amazing event of the cross occur, where he took our sins upon himself. But God, he was God, he is Christ, he is the anointed one of God. God died for you and for me. That is a powerful, life-changing, it really is, message. And if it hasn't changed your life yet, then today's the day. Today is the day. If anybody is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And today you can step out of darkness into his wonderful light. You can come to know Jesus. You can ask him to take away your sin and bring his forgiveness and cleansing and washing into your very soul. And when he does that, it's like being born again. It's like having a new birth. It is remarkable. It is powerful. It's incredible to know God and to be a Christian. So that's what this sermon ends with. Now, what happens at the end of the sermon? Anybody know? We had the last word of the sermon. What happens next? Anybody? Shout it out. They were going to be baptized in a minute, but before they get baptized, they are cut to the heart. That's interesting. It says there, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" My goodness. We need a few more sermons like this with a few more, a bit of, what was it Leonard Ravenhill said? Unction in the pulpit, action in the pew. That's what we need. So these people were saying, what shall we do? Have you ever ended a sermon thinking that? Have you ever been cut to the heart? Because the Bible says that God's word is like a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Is a sword any good if it's blunt? No. This is a sharp sword. And it cuts. Sometimes that can be a bit painful. But actually, how many of you would like surgery with a surgeon with a blunt knife? Anybody? Not me. We want a sharp scalpel. Make that incision. Do that work. Do it well. And when God does a work, he does it really well. He's got a sharp scalpel, the surgeon of heaven. And when God worked, and when Peter was preaching, all the people who heard it, they suddenly got woken up. It was like an alarm clock went off in their lives and for their souls. And they were woken up. And they thought, my goodness, we need God. We have been blind. We have been sinful. We have been going our own way. This is true. This message Peter's telling us about is true. What are we going to do about it? We've got to do something about this. You know, there's an urgency. There's a bit of, you know, wow, we've got to respond. That I would encourage you today. The Bible says that God only really has today. He says, if you hear my voice, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So don't think, well, I'll think about that for a few weeks. And I'll just mull over that and give it a little bit of thought. I would like you to know that God says, if God speaks to you, anybody here, respond now. Respond today. Respond now. Don't let it drift. Do it now. Because these people here in Acts, they were cut to the heart and they said, what should we do? And what does Peter say to them? This is a great, because Peter's having an interactive sermon as well. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you'll receive the forgiveness of sins. Now, so that's good news, isn't it? There is a way. What does repent mean? So change your mind. There was a few to turn back. Was there anything else? To be sorry. Anything else we got there? Anybody else burning with an answer? Yeah, all those things. Repent means I recognize, as Susan says, I recognize I'm going the wrong way. My life is going the wrong way. I need to make a change. And then as we also heard, it's about if I'm going the wrong way in living according to my own agenda, my own way, my independence way from God. And it's stopping and saying, I don't want to live like this. I can't live like this anymore. They were cut to the heart. Something needed to change. And they said, I want to live for God. I want to know Jesus. So now I'm going to walk in a different way with centered on Jesus, making Jesus Lord and Savior, having forgiveness of sins, not walking in shame, but having forgiveness, not walking in guilt, but having God's mercy. And living a different life, and living the life that God calls us to live. Repentance is not just a prayer to say sorry. Repentance is how you live on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, because we're living differently with Jesus. That's what it's about. So Peter said, repent. Then what did he say? And be baptized. Now we know that the Bible teaches us that baptism doesn't actually make you a Christian. Baptism itself doesn't save you. A lot of people are trusting in their baptism to save them and get to heaven. Baptism itself, by itself, will not get you to heaven or get you to know God. But it's faith and repenting, as we just said, that gets you to know God. But what is baptism then? Anybody got any thoughts? From a Baptist pastor in the third row. Anybody? He's going to preach a sermon. It's a witness. It is an outward sign of what God has done here. So they were cut to the heart. Something happened to them. Their lives were changed. And now they wanted to do something and let the world see. We are Jesus people. We're actually going to follow the Christ, the anointed one of God. So we're going to get, Peter said, repent and do something. Do something by repenting and then show witness. Show a sign of what God's done in your life. An outward witness of an inward reality. That's what a baptism is. And that's what Lucy's going to do in a minute. And we've had already this morning on the behalf of parents and godparents. So today it's a moment for witness, which is really, really wonderful. There's a few other things that baptism is as well. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus was baptized. And that was a beautiful moment when Jesus was baptized. And remember, the Spirit came upon him. And can anybody remember when the heavens opened, what did God say to his son, the Lord Jesus? This is my beloved son. With him, I am well pleased. There was a tremendous word of affirmation. God loves us. God loves you. He loves you and he wants you to know him and love him. And he wants to be able to say to you, you're my beloved son, my beloved daughter. I am well pleased with you. That's the Father's heart when Jesus was baptized. Baptism is commanded in Matthew 28. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're commanded to be, but oh, I've forgotten all about my PowerPoint. Oh, hey, someone remembered. Good. Then also baptism brings us into the church. 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us that we are one body and we are baptized into the body. Somebody's the pinky, someone's the big toe, someone's the eye, we won't go any further. But we all need one another. And we need every part of that body to be functioning really well. And baptism brings you fully into the body of the church, which is amazing. Baptism in Acts 22 verse 16 describes it a bit like being washed. A wash on the inside. Cleansing, and that's why water is a marvelous image. And we had that liturgy about how water cleanses, and water is a really powerful image in the Bible. I'm thinking about writing something about it to, after doing fire, should probably do water. But and then the last image here in Romans 6, verse 4, is about dying and rising, and that's what baptism is. When Lucy goes under the water, it's a sign and a witness of her saying goodbye to the old way of living, the old way of the flesh, the old ways of our independence from God. But and it's just like as Jesus died, but it says that if we are baptized with him, we die with him, but then also we're going to be raised with him. And so as Lucy comes up out of the water, it's a sign and a witness and a symbol of that we are going to be raised with Christ and that we want to lead a new life. A new life. We are an Easter people. We have a risen Savior. We talked earlier about how Jesus was crucified, but he is no longer dead. He is risen. Should we do the Easter greeting now? Well, let's do a practice, shall we? Okay, this is a practice for April the 21st. Now I've got to remember it. So, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let's give a thanks to God because we serve a risen Savior. Anybody like that song? He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. We could almost break into it. I know some of you are almost there. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Jesus is alive and at work and is here today. For anybody who doesn't yet know Jesus, you need to come and know him today. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sin. We're nearly done. He says here, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the best gift possible. And then he says something amazing for us today, actually, for me and Caroline. He says, this promise is to you and to your children. Amen. It's a real honor for me to baptize Lucy with Caroline today. And for all, for you, this promise is for you. You've got the best promise this morning. Promises for you. The last thing I'll say is, Peter went on. Do you know the sermon didn't stop? He got going again. Oops. You know, shall we do that this morning? Shall I just, that was the introduction. No. Peter got going again. What did he do this time? He really laid it on. He says, with other words, he warned them. Let me get it right. He warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Wow. I want to say that to you today. There needs to be a warning note in all of this, as Peter said. You need to get saved, friend. You need to... What does he say here? Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. This is a corrupt generation. It always has been, ever since the first sin. But we are in the midst of a corrupt generation. Haven't we seen it this week? Go to Christchurch, New Zealand. A corrupt generation. Violence. Even on our own streets. Knife crime. It's always been something or other. Because of our hard hearts towards God. And this generation without Christ is lost eternally in hell, the Bible says. So that's why Peter says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. God is like throwing you today a lifeline. You know those life buoys you get on the beach or somewhere like that? And it's like throwing out a lifeline. And if you're drowning, what do you need? You would be so glad to get hold of a lifeline, to get hold of a buoy or a float or something. And we're throwing you afloat this morning spiritually and saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. How do you do it? Brothers, what must we do? How do I get saved out of sin and my lostness and my judgment? Well, the answer is, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And you will receive the gift of the Spirit. You'll receive forgiveness of sins. This promise is to you. It's good news with the backdrop of the bad news. And that's always what the gospel is. And that's what we need. So this morning, friend, I'd like to give you an opportunity. But just before that, can we move to the last slide? Here we go. Oh, have we lost? Hang on. There we are. That is 3,000 people. I did a Google search. It came up with a Bernie Sanders rally, which is nothing at all. But I just thought you might want to see what 3,000 people looks like. That is a lot of people. And they all became Christians on that day. What a meeting. And I pray, I wonder if there will be one or two or three here this morning. Maybe you've not been to church much before. Maybe you've been to church for 30 years, but you've never yet made your own decision to follow the way of Jesus. And I want to say today is the day. So can we just have every head bowed and every eye closed? And I would like to pray. And I would like to ask that if you know today that you need to become a Christian, you need to know the forgiveness of your sins. You need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and to come into your life, to save you from that judgment, to save you for that life, forgiveness of sins. Would you do something? Would you just raise your hand so I can see where you are? Because I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out, but just raise your hand now, up nice and high. Raise your hand nice and high, if you know that's you. Thank you. Thank you. So today, for any who've raised their hands this morning, I'd like you to pray along with me. Pray this prayer as a way of you connecting to God. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you now just as I am. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you, Lord Jesus, died on the cross for me. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Please forgive all my sin. And I now put my trust in what you did on the cross for me. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life with your forgiveness, to wash me, to cleanse me, and to bring me into a new life with you, Jesus. Please be my Savior and my Lord. And from this morning, I give my life to you. And I choose to follow you, Jesus, for all of my days. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your gift of new life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 That is a precious moment. Someone has passed from, we pray, from death to life, from the power of Satan to God. And it's a precious thing. And I would love to have a conversation after with any who've prayed that prayer this morning. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're going to sing. And as we sing, the kids are going to come back in. And then we're all going to go outside through these doors. And if I could encourage you, we'll try and set some chairs out for any who need to sit, are not able to, or if you will open the doors to the Hope Center. So some of you might want to be kind of undercover, if you like, that's fine. You can come through the Hope Hall or this way. I would encourage you to, though, when it comes, keep coming all the way around, because there's a lot of us to get out into that little space. So just come on through when we ask you to. Is that all right? Praise God. Praise God. Amen.